This week on The Take, we're marking 1 year since a pair of devastating earthquakes hit Turkey and Syria with a new digital interactive. Listen and watch stories of survival, recovery, and coping with the grief at aljazeera.com/earthquakes. Again, that's aljazeera.com/earthquakes.
I'm in Aligarh in North India, 3 hours east of Delhi. It's election time, and Rahul Gandhi, India's top opposition leader, is on the march to take on the seemingly unstoppable juggernaut of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who's seeking a third consecutive term. The opposition claims that Mr. Modi's success rate has very little to do with his governance, but more because scores of his political rivals, including Rahul Gandhi, have been arrested or charged on questionable grounds. This, they say, has kneecapped the opposition and gained the political arena in favor of the ruling party. In this episode of the India Report, I'll examine whether these actions are, as the Prime Minister claims, part of his crusade against high-level corruption, or an unprecedented targeting of the opposition, which is deeply dangerous to India's democracy.
A decade ago, Narendra Modi swept to power on the back of promises to clean up corruption. It's a message that resonated with voters in a country where political graft is seen as endemic.
But increasingly, Modi's slogan of zero tolerance for corruption appears to have become a tool to handicap the opposition and reinforce the supremacy of the ruling party. To be clear, governments using law enforcement to target their political rivals is not new to India. But evidence shows that the trend has been turbocharged under the Modi government.
A database we've compiled reveals that in the 10 years Modi's been in power, more than 400 opposition leaders have been targeted by federal agencies, a massive spike compared to the previous government. More than 90% of all politicians investigated by federal authorities are from the opposition.
So 10 years into the BJP's rule, we have a situation where investigative bodies like the Enforcement Directorate and the CBI, the Central Bureau of Investigation, their autonomy has been systematically undermined. What we are seeing is that while cases of corruption against political opposition and those critical of the government are being taken up in a very, very serious manner, those against members of the ruling party are not being taken up seriously. And in fact, there is what is even now termed as the washing machine phenomenon, where people who face serious allegations of corruption, once they join the ruling party, they somehow, the cases against them are either dropped or the agencies are going slow on them.
The main agency driving these cases, the Enforcement Directorate, commonly referred to as ED, India's anti-money laundering force. In the ED's crosshairs, scores of leaders of the Congress, India's main opposition party, starting with the topmost leadership, Sonia and her son Rahul Gandhi. Months before the elections, the Chief Minister of Jharkhand state in eastern India was arrested by the ED on corruption allegations linked to real estate. In the South Indian state of Telangana, the party of K. Chandrasekhar Rao, another challenger to the BJP, has come under the ED's crossfire for a scam relating to alcohol retail. In another southern state, Tamil Nadu, the ED has trained its guns on the DMK party, a strident critic of the Modi regime, filing charges against and jailing its ministers and legislators. In the state of West Bengal, the ED is investigating 50-odd leaders of the Trinamool Congress, a feisty rival of the BJP, on a host of charges. In Kolkata, the capital of West Bengal, we meet Derek O'Brien of the Trinamool Congress.
The government says
this is part of an anti-corruption crusade. This is not a political vendetta. To that, you would say what?
I'd laugh. Who will believe this? 96% of these cases are against members of non-BJP parties. Let me give you a little example. My colleague, he's a member of parliament from Bengal. He was seen with the chief minister, his candidature was announced, boom. Within 3 days, he's been called by one of the agencies. So the interesting thing is that they do it now shamelessly. There's no pretense of, you know, you're an opposition.
Are you saying then that the charges on which that they proceed are not genuine? Because their argument is that these are serious charges. If you look at the people in your own party, they've been charged with everything from Ponzi schemes, coal smuggling, you know, cash for government jobs, money laundering, all of that.
Anyone proven, the law will have to take their own course.
But your argument is that what? That these are trumped up charges?
These are all trumped up charges. This is how it works. They put pressure, political pressure is put by this. I think the best example is the former chief minister of Maharashtra,
who was a Western Indian state.
How many charges there? He joins the BJP.
A day after former Maharashtra chief minister Ashok Chavan quit the Congress party, is set to join the BJP today.
We contacted multiple leaders and spokespersons of the BJP with questions on the crackdown on the opposition. They either didn't respond or declined our request.
Acha. How are you, sir?
The one person who agreed to give us an interview on this matter was Adish Agarwala, president of the Bar Association of India's Supreme Court and a self-avowed staunch backer of the Modi government. His answers to our questions were often off-topic or difficult to make sense of. No one is above the law. But surely, when you see the very one-sided manner in which hundreds of opposition leaders are targeted and rarely anybody from the other side, surely that is a matter of deep concern in a democracy.
I don't look in that sense. You have to understand, if somebody commit mistake, action should be taken. Our agencies should go against them.
But when you're only targeting one side, according to the data, 90% of political leaders targeted by enforcement agencies are of the opposition. And only 10% are non-opposition. That's the issue. That makes it seem like it is a one-sided administration of justice.
You can't say everybody is corrupt. Politician of every political party is corrupt. If
only opposition politicians are corrupt, ruling party
maybe
is
not
completely
correct.
Clean.
But in India, there is a provision. If you feel that somebody has committed wrong, and the investigating agencies are not taking action, India has free and fair judiciary.
Nothing typifies the crackdown on the opposition more than the targeting of the party once seen as India's fastest growing political startup. For decades, India's political scene was dominated by two national parties. Initially, the Congress led by the Gandhi family and later Narendra Modi's BJP. All that changed a decade later when the Aam Aadmi Party burst onto the scene on the back of an anti-corruption movement that drew millions to the streets. Their charismatic leader, Arvind Kejriwal, even billed as a challenger to Modi.
What do the people on the ground think about who could be the possible challenger to Modi? I think the one name which is very commonly taken by the common voters on the ground is Arvind Kejriwal.
Kya Arvind Kejriwal Narendra Modi ke challenger ban sakte hain? Aur sabse bada sawal ye hai ki kya Aam Aadmi Party ab desh mein dheere dheere Congress ka vikalp bankar ubhar rahi hai?
In a short span of time, Aam Aadmi Party formed the government in the state of Delhi. Kejriwal became its chief minister. They won the neighboring state of Punjab and set their sights on other regions. But then, in what seemed to be a strategically timed move, the Modi government's anti-corruption agencies swooped in.
The Aam Aadmi Party has alleged that the party chief Arvind Kejriwal is likely to be arrested in a matter of 2 days.
Top leaders of the AAP, including Kejriwal, were accused of complex charges of corruption and money laundering.
I am outside Tihar Jail in New Delhi. Behind these walls are some of India's most notorious criminals. But increasingly over the past few years, it has become home to leaders of the Aam Aadmi Party, with so many of its top leaders either in prison or facing a slew of charges. The future of one of India's up-and-coming opposition parties is under question.
The intention of the BJP is definitely to malign the image of the Aam Aadmi Party. They want to show that we are corrupt like them, which is not the case, you know. People understand this. Everyone understands that it's been 2 years and so many of our leaders are behind bars now. People see how we have been victimized. People see that if, you know, you look at our history, we would be the party which has been hounded the most.
Many voters we spoke to in Delhi, however, seem to support the actions against the AAP.
मैंने ये तो देखिए मंत्री सब जितने भी आए मैंने देखे हैं ऐसा कुछ नहीं है ये अपने राजनीति से जमाते हैं उसके बाद फिर अपना वही दिखाते हैं और कुछ नहीं
ये जो कर रहे हैं ये सही कर रहे हैं ये जो ईडी का कार्रवाई और ये सब
बिल्कुल मैं तो कहता हूँ जो हर के साथ होना चाहिए ऐसे कारोबार गलत है तो गलत के साथ गलत ही होना चाहिए
जाँच कराने में इनको क्या दिक्कत हो रही है अगर हम साफ हैं तो हमें खुल के कहना चाहिए हाँ जी मेरी जाँच कराओ इनकी भी जाँच कराओ इनकी भी जाँच कराओ
ओनली फ्यू क्रिटिसाइज द रेड्स एनआरएस
ये आगे बढ़ेंगे तो दिक्कत सीधे सीधे एक ही पार्टी को होने वाली है वो बीजेपी क्योंकि कांग्रेस का लगभग लगभग सफाया इन्होंने कर ही दिया है उभरती पार्टी के रूप में केवल एक ही पार्टी है आम आदमी पार्टी तो अगर इसको ये दबा ले गए तो सीधे सीधे फायदा किसको होगा बीजेपी को ये है इनका मुद्दा इसीलिए ये भी जितनी भी पार्टियाँ CBI है NIA है ED है सबको एक एक करके इनके पीछे लगाए हैं जिससे इनका उत्थान ना हो धीरे धीरे इनका पतन हो जाए
The abuse of state power is not new in India. Back in 1975, an autocratic Prime Minister, Indira Gandhi of the Congress Party, imposed a state of internal emergency, jailing her opponents and suspending civil liberties. Today, the repressive practices of the Modi regime are being seen as worrying indicators of democratic backsliding. In 2021, the US-based watchdog Freedom House dropped India's rating from free to partly free. While the Sweden-based VDEM Institute said India is one of the worst autocratizers in the last 10 years. There is a concern about what all of this is doing to Indian democracy. Global democracy watchdogs have begun to downgrade India. It is what they call an electoral autocracy. One of the reasons is because of the way the opposition is being targeted.
We should not be guided by Western media or agencies. I know what they are. I am the president of International Council of Jurists.
That is somewhat of a deflection to my question. That the idea that India is now turning into an electoral autocracy, these are, you know, global watchdogs. Is that not a matter of concern?
How these reports are being influenced, I know. In Washington, D.C., 125 senators and congressmen from both parties, they are attending our conference on India's Independence Day.
How does that...
I'm telling.
Answer this point.
I'm answering. We pay them a ticket and stay charges in Washington, D.C. And they will wear our tricolor. There are so many...
You're saying that these watchdogs, when they come out with these reports... They have an agenda. This is not independent. This is not a neutral view.
They can be. With that, I'm saying.
Most democracies around the world today, as we're experiencing a democratic recession, are not dying with a dramatic military coup or with the overnight arrests of opposition. It's instead exactly what we see happening in India. Namely, it's the government using the might of the state to slowly erode democratic protections, and in particular, the right of citizens and opposition parties to dissent against the government. And that right is only meaningful if you want to dissent. But at some point, almost everybody wants to dissent, and that's in fact the core of what democracy is.
The BJP says democracy is not under threat. They point to a number of state elections they've lost since Modi came to power. But the opposition says that even when the BJP loses, they use enforcement agencies to target legislators of opposition governments, triggering defections and reversing the result. These actions have happened so often that the media even has a name for it. They call it Operation Lotus, named after the BJP's party symbol.
In 2019, in the southern state of Karnataka, members of the ruling coalition crossed over to the BJP, triggering a change in government. Several of the defectors were being investigated by federal authorities for tax violations. Similar tactics at play in the western state of Maharashtra, when a coalition government collapsed after scores of legislators, many of them being investigated by federal agencies, broke away and aligned with the BJP. In the same year, in the tourist hotspot of Goa, a top Congress leader being investigated for corruption led an exodus to the BJP. When asked by the media to explain his decision, he said it was divine intervention.
I have gone back to the temple. I have asked the God and the Goddess that this is in my mind, what I should do. Then God said, you go ahead, don't worry.
One opposition politician who joined the BJP in 2022 let the cat out of the bag when he said he sleeps easier now that he's a member of the ruling party.
आम्हाला सुद्धा भारतीय जनता पक्षात जावं लागलं. काय नाही, मस्त आहे बघा, निवांत आहे, शांत झोप लागते, काय नाही, चौकशी नाही, पिकशी नाही, काय नाही.
यू सी, लॉ इज द सेम वेदर यू आर इन ऑपोजिशन एंड nobody is permanent in government, nobody is permanent in opposition, same law prevails.
Here's the argument against that the same law prevails, because what is happening is the same opposition leaders who are charged with corruption, the moment they cross over to the ruling party, suddenly the cases against them go slow.
No, it is not correct. Whose case you are saying it has been closed?
Okay, let me give you many examples. There's a politician in the eastern state of Assam, Himanta Biswa Sarma. He was accused in what is called a Ponzi scam. He joins the ruling party. The case against him has gone into a back burner. There's another politician in West Bengal, Suvendu Adhikari. Let me finish. He was reportedly caught on hidden camera accepting bribes. He joins the BJP. Again, the case has gone cold. A politician from Western India, Narayan Rane, accused of money laundering, joins the BJP. These are all opposition politicians. When they cross over, again, the case goes on the back burner.
It may be possible initially a false report must have been lodged against them.
You're saying that all of these people
maybe
were all
I'm
accused
not
of false charges.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not the authority. I've not gone through the allegations.
Cases of corruption against the BJP have repeatedly surfaced, but rarely get anywhere. In 2016, charges of cronyism and corruption flared over the Modi government's purchase of French fighter jets for about $9 billion.
Huge amounts of money were paid to middlemen in the deal. The vindication of corruption allegations against Prime Minister Modi and his government.
The matter was eventually closed by the Supreme Court, even though an ongoing probe by French investigators into the charges is reportedly being stalled by India. An association of contractors from South India who wrote to the Prime Minister in 2021 accusing a BJP state government of charging 40% kickbacks on all government contracts received no meaningful response. India's government auditor, the CAG2, has raised red flags with little to no follow-up.
It is really very important that agencies that are responsible for investigating and prosecuting cases of corruption be allowed to function independently and do their job. That is the only way that people and the country will know whether there is corruption, and that corruption can also be stemmed where it's happening. Otherwise, we will have a situation where there might be claims of corruption-free India, but in effect, corruption carries on.
Perhaps the most striking charge of financial wrongdoing against the Modi government involved murky political financing.
7 years ago, they introduced a scheme which allows individuals and corporations to make anonymous contributions to political parties through financial instruments known as electoral bonds. Despite objections that this would open the floodgates of shady money to enter politics, the government still went ahead. 7 years later, the BJP has amassed the equivalent of $790 million in opaque donations,
making it 8 times wealthier than its nearest rival, the Congress Party. Armed with this massive war chest, the BJP, aided by Indian election laws which place no limit on spending by political parties, has significantly outspent its rivals. In 2022, the BJP spent the equivalent of over $130 million on elections, 6 times more than its nearest rival. In 2017, a group of petitioners, including an election watchdog and some opposition parties, challenged the electoral bond scheme in India's Supreme Court, arguing that it's a form of legalized corruption, allowing the wealthy to anonymously buy favors from the government and influence policy. In February this year, the court agreed, striking down the scheme as illegal, but not before it had vastly enriched the ruling party. Even though the scheme has been struck down, the ruling party is sitting on close to $800 million through these funds, which gives them an undue advantage when it comes to elections. Again, not healthy for democracy.
You see, if you are big party, you will have big funds. If you are, your jurisdiction is big, you will have more population.
But there's never been such a gap. This gap is highly unusual.
It is, donor has to see whom they are giving. Congress is ruling in some states, they will also get.
The opposition, mired in corruption investigations, a cash-rich ruling party that barely faces any scrutiny. The media largely towing the government's line. Even one of the last remaining forums for dissent, India's parliament, has largely become dysfunctional.
What is Indian parliament today? What is Indian parliament is, I mean, you know, at one time, 6 out of 10 bills would be scrutinized before they're passed. And I'm talking about previous government. That number in Indian parliament is down to 1 out of 10 bills. One. Do you know an opposition notice for a discussion has not been accepted in the upper house of parliament since 2016? What is parliament? The opposition must have its say. And the government must have its way.
The percentage of bills referred to parliamentary committees has fallen from 60% to 17% in the past 2 decades. Parliament held only 274 sittings in the past 5 years, making it the shortest full-term parliament in 7 decades. Opposition MPs are being suspended or even expelled, including the leader of the main opposition party, Rahul Gandhi, his status restored after the courts intervened. Matters came to a head in the winter of 2023.
How is it that these people were able to breach parliament security and carry smoke canisters inside the parliament building?
Opposition demanded a debate on a major security breach in parliament. The government rejected the demand and suspended an unprecedented 146 opposition MPs for protesting. Ask Adish Agarwala and he blames the opposition.
When opposition is not permitting the ruling party to hold the parliament session, then what is the alternative?
But it's the responsibility. It's the responsibility of the government of the day to run parliament.
Correct.
Role of the opposition to oppose?
Oppose within the parliament debate, not outside creating.
So you're blaming the disruptions of the house or the non-functioning of the house entirely on the opposition.
Not
the government has no responsibility.
I mean, you walk into parliament and you have a chorus. A chorus of people, dham, 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 Hari Modi. When I last checked the constitution, this is a parliamentary democracy. Indian parliament is in serious danger. Indian parliament is on the brink of becoming a BJP party office.
The Prime Minister's disdain of the opposition and his quest for a political monopoly has never been concealed. When Modi first ran for office, he coined a slogan to describe his eventual goal, a Congress Mukt India, or an India free of the Congress, almost as if his main political rival should cease to exist.
Mahatma Gandhi ne Champaran mein अंग्रेज मुक्त हिंदुस्तान की बात कही थी, आज यहां से जुगल बनना चाहिए, गांधी मैदान से जुगल बजना चाहिए, कांग्रेस मुक्त भारत का सपना हिंदुस्तान का।
A decade later, that approach of stamping out any political competition appears to have been extended virtually to the entire opposition. Modi's rivals, battered by corruption charges, weakened by defections, some of its leaders even in jail. Now, with Narendra Modi set to return to a third term, India's future as a multi-party democracy looks to be in peril.